All right, good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody's doing okay. And good to see you this evening. And good service this morning. Appreciate everybody that came and responded. And this is a brand new service tonight. And so we are glad and thankful and grateful that you came this way. We're going to do things a little different tonight. We're going to open up with prayer, and then I got Brother Randy. He's going to do something for us over there, and then we'll take up offering, and then we'll bring the message tonight. We're short on some folks to combine some singing, so that's what we're going to do. But please pick up a bulletin if you haven't already, just to stay up to date with what's going on here at the church. And again, our Thanksgiving fellowship will be on the 24th at 5 o'clock. Sign-up sheet. Do we have a sign-up sheet over there, Miss Leah?
Yep.
We got a sign-up sheet. All right. I knew better than that. And so I got a sign-up sheet. So you remember, if you can bring something, please do. Please sign up on the sign-up sheet. And I think I mentioned this morning. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I mentioned it Wednesday night. I'm not sure. But last Saturday, the Saturday before yesterday, of course, was outreach, and that concludes our outreach for 2024. We're going to start back up in January. I felt like I mentioned that before, or I felt like I mentioned that Wednesday, or maybe even last week. But at any rate, we had 10 outreaches this year, which is great. And it just takes time to get out there in the highways and hedges, make a presence known, get familiar with the community. And so we're going to fire that thing back up in January, and we're going to shoot for 10 more next year, 10 plus outreaches. And so thank you for your time on that. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And I tell you what, let's do. Can someone do offering? Brother Dion, I know you just sat down, brother. If you want to go ahead and bring an offering plate down front here, we will pray and bless the offering. And Brother Randy, you'll just instrumental it out for us or whatever. And then, or a song, however you want to do it. And then, or a song to follow, be fine with me. All right. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the offering in the service tonight. Father God, we come in Jesus' name, and we are so very thankful to be here. I thank you, Lord, for the intimate setting tonight amongst God's people. And again, Lord, there's strength in numbers. There is encouragement to be found here. God, your return is imminent. And so we are at the right place at the right time. I pray that you would bless our fellowship tonight. Bless the music, bless the message, and bless the offering, Lord. And I pray that you'll just multiply it here at the church and on foreign fields. We do pray for our missionaries, home missions, the missionaries that are in the USA working, Lord, and laboring for you, and then missionaries abroad in other countries. We thank you, Lord, for their answer to the call to go and preach the gospel and plant churches. Lord, help us to stay busy until you come. You could come tonight, Lord. We welcome your coming tonight. But, Father, we just love you and we thank you. We pray for Miss Diane Ely. We got word this afternoon that she's doing better. She actually got up and did a little bit of walking. And Brother Randy told me that, and we're thankful for that. We just pray you'll continually touch her and her recovery, and everybody who has upcoming appointments and surgeries. Of course, Lord, we have already offered Lily up to you in prayer, and we just pray that you'd just be with her, Lord, during her time, her surgery time. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Thank you.
I don't know what to do. I do know what to do. But I do want to thank God for being here tonight. I want to thank God for an opportunity just to share maybe a couple of songs tonight. Get this out of my ear so I can hear what I'm saying. But I just want to take just a moment to say I'm really thankful. I'm thankful to God that He's allowed me to be a part of Calvary Baptist Church for, gosh, 25 years, I guess, 26. Half my life. No, I was just kidding. I came here just kidding. But I'm so thankful to be a part of my church. Church is not something I have to do. It's something I want to do. I want to come to God's house. And I really need to rephrase that because this is really not God's house. I'm God's house, and you're God's house. We're a group of believers that come together in the house to worship God. Am I not right? So I'm glad all the church came tonight. I'm glad y'all are here. So for a little bit, let's just I'm going to say let your hair down, but no, I don't want to do that. Let's just worship a little bit tonight. Brother Justin's going to bring us a message here in just a minute, but I want to do, I'm going to do a couple of songs for you. Y'all know the songs I'm going to sing, so while I'm singing them, y'all just go ahead and help me out with them. Okay? Thank you very much. one thing I got to do is going to die, because it's really hard to do this anymore. I was walking in a while ago. I was going over a song with Justin and Miss Christy was out here. I can't see you. I'm sorry. I was walking around and singing, and I told him, I realized one thing real quick. I can't walk and sing no more because I'm just too fat to do so anymore. But anyway, I want to do this next song for you. It's a song that I've sang probably, I don't know, 100 times, I guess, maybe. Brother Justin preached this morning about the guidance of the blind man. The study that I've done on reading about the blind man that Jesus healed that day, all he wanted God to do was just to touch his eyes. He just wanted to see. That's all he wanted. He had faith to believe that. He trusted God was going to do that. He just said, all I want you to do is just heal me. But I found out in studying, he got a little more than he asked for. Because not only did he get his eyesight, I believe, Brother Justin, didn't really say so in the Bible, but I believe he got more than just his eyesight. Always get more than you ask for when you ask God for something. You ever notice that? God, I need. God didn't ask for that, God, but thank you. You understand what I'm saying? God always gives us more than we ask for. I don't know that we'll make it through it, but we sure gonna try. Y'all pray, I'll make it, okay? I got time to call 911 today. My name. If I live or die all day long, I just sit here begging while people, they just walk on by. Oh, but today I heard someone whispering, they said that Jesus was passing through. You know, I heard that he healed a blind man, and I wondered, could it be true? Oh, but wait, he's coming closer now. Would he? What's that I'm feeling now? Someone's hand is on my brow, and I feel power. And now he speaks to me, said I am free, and I can see.
Appreciate Brother Randy. Appreciate, oh me, appreciate the song choices there. Glad he didn't throw the clay away. And blind Bartimaeus, what a story that is. And one touch is all we need. That's all we need. We go from strength to strength. The Lord always provides. We appreciate that. All right. If you have your Bibles, let's make our way to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And this morning we preached on the blind man's guide out of Isaiah 42:16. And we enjoyed that, shared our hearts on that, but we have something else in our heart for tonight. And I just want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to summarize what's going on here in 2 Kings chapter 2. Father, we come one more time. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would add your blessing to your word, Lord. This is a brand new service. This is the word of God. It is alive. There are people here. We all need a touch. Just one touch from you tonight, Lord, is what we need. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here in 2 Kings chapter number 2, Elijah is getting close to his translation. You say, what do you mean, translation? Well, he is getting ready to leave this world, but he's going to be translated. He does not see death because the Lord took him up into heaven by a whirlwind. Elijah didn't die. And he went up again by a whirlwind into heaven. A whirlwind here, the word whirlwind is a storm or even tornado. Can you imagine being taken to heaven by a storm or just caught up inside a tornado? I mean, you were down here, now you're up there. That's what took place. But first, he and Elisha made some last ministry stops. Elijah went from Gilgal to Bethel, and Elijah actually told Elisha to stay put, but Elisha wanted to go with him. The scriptures indicate that Elisha actually knew that Elijah was getting ready to go on to be with the Lord, if you go back and read. But he wanted to continue with him. And so they went from Gilgal to Bethel. And the same thing happened at Bethel. Elijah was getting ready to go to Jericho. And Elisha didn't want to stay. Elijah said, Elisha, just stay. No. I want to go with you. You know, I found out in life, those who have touched you and enriched your life, it's hard to depart from them. You just want to stay with them, and you want to continue to gain wisdom and knowledge from them. And I believe this young man, Elisha, he was wanting to be with his spiritual father, Elijah. He just enjoyed the fellowship that they had down through the years. And so they went from Gilgal to Bethel and from Bethel to Jericho. Some last ministry stops. Now they're standing right by the Jordan River, verse number 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood, and they too stood by Jordan. So the scene is this. We have Elisha and Elijah right here on the Jordan River bank. Standing away, afar off, is the 50 prophets, sons of the prophets, ministers of the prophets, men, young men in training. And so that's the picture that we have here. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. What were they going to view? They all knew that Elijah was getting ready to leave. And they too stood by Jordan. And I want to begin reading in verse number 8. And I want to go down to verse number 15. The Bible says, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. I typically don't read that many verses, but for context, that's why we did so. And that's reading 2 Kings 2, 8 through 15. And so what we have here is a look at Elijah's departure. And that's my title tonight. I want to take a look at Elijah's departure. And I want to try to glean some truths from this setting. When Elijah left this world, and to see how Elisha responded. That's what I want to look at tonight for a few moments. And I want to actually share some things about how Elijah finished. How he finished his ministry. How he finished his course when he departed. And I believe there's many things for us in this story tonight. Number one, Elijah finished with strong faith. Notice if you would in verse number 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. They were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Elijah finished with strong faith. How do you say strong faith? How do you get that from the scriptures? Well, just think about it for a moment with me. Elijah has been following the Lord for many years now. He is older. He has trusted God down through the years. He has called fire down from heaven. The very next moment, he ran from Jezebel and he wanted to die. An angel touched him under the juniper tree He rose up and went in one meal, the strength of one meal for 40 days. Elijah has seen a whole lot in his life. He is getting ready to go on to be with the Lord. And all of Elijah's trials and fatigue and age did not make his faith feeble. Think about it. He was still able to grab that mantle and smite those waters at the end of his life, and he was able to part the Jordan River. I think tonight that's amazing, and that's very telling. He wasn't feeble in his faith at the end of his life, but he was still strong in faith. He continued from the start of his ministry to the end with a strong and grounded, settled faith. I believe the older that he got, the stronger his faith got. And we know that's what trials and adversity does. And God willing, with the older that we get, and the more we trust the Lord and follow Him, the stronger our faith will get. You know, I want to be able to get in touch with God now. But 20 years from now, I still want to be able to get in touch with God. I don't want to go off the beaten path. I don't want to just start good. I want to end good. And I want to say there is grace for the young man. There is grace for the middle-aged man. And there is grace for the older man. There is grace tonight to serve the Lord and to walk with Him and to be what you're supposed to be for young people, middle-aged, and seniors. All across the board, God can strengthen you and give you a faith to lean on through your whole life. We have many people that is departing from the faith. They are leaving church, and we're living in the Laodicean church age where everybody, well, I'm just good, and you know, I have all that I need, and I don't need the Lord. And so they have a way of dropping out of church, and they have a way of leaving the Lord's side, so to speak, of abiding in Him. But I don't want that to be my story. I don't want to just have a good run in my Christian life. I want to finish my course. And I want to finish my course with all the experience that God has taught me and everything I've learned about God's Word through my Christian journey. I don't want it to fizzle out, but I want it to get more more telling. I want it to show more. I want it to be more visible in my life. I want my faith to be stronger in days to come than it is even now. And so tonight, we about Elijah's departure, we see that he finished with strong faith. Strong faith. Let us continue to the end with a great faith in God, regardless of the trials and fatigue we face. We know that our faith will only be sharpened by these things. Number two tonight. Not only Elijah finished with strong faith, but Elijah finished with a selfless heart. Notice in verse number 9, if you would. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Hey, buddy, would you go give me a nice meal so that I can leave with a full belly? Hey, Elisha, would you go get me a special drink that I can have, my favorite? Would you give me a big old cup of ice water that I can drink before the heavenlies come after me?" Now, he wasn't a self-centered older man. He was a selfless older man. Whatever age he was before he died, he said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee." Elisha, what do you want? This is a picture of a person's heart that is selfless. While he knowing this was his last moments alive, he could have asked for anything. He could have asked for a party. He could have asked for all these things. But he asked Elisha, the young man, what he would like. Let us be the same way. Let us be humble. Listen, the older we get in our walk with God, let us continue to be humble and caring and kind, considerate to others, conscious of life's responsibilities in service to God. You see, Elijah, when he was getting ready to depart, he had a selfless heart. He asked Elisha, "What do you want? What can I do?" He wasn't just being considerate of Elisha, but he was being considerate and thinking about the work of God continuing on. He knew he was the successor. And so he was conscientious of that. Let us, the older we get, let us be the same way. Let us have a selfless heart, a heart that is humble and caring and kind, conscious of God's work and the things that's going to be left behind. Let me mention a third thing. Not only that, but when it comes to Elijah's departure, we see that Elijah finished with a sacred question. I just read it to you, but let's read it again. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And so he asked Elisha what he could do for him before he goes. This was a sacred question. Now, Elisha could have asked for anything. You know, the same way that, that the Lord asked Solomon, "What do you want?" And Solomon said, "I want wisdom." And so Elisha's reply was a double portion of Elijah's spirit. I want you to notice something about this response to the question that he wanted. This answer from Elisha indicates that Elisha knew and recognized Elijah had a special relationship with God. Elisha recognized that Elijah had a special anointing. Anointing, don't get nervous. A touch from God. A calling from God. This older man of God had the touch of God on his life. This younger man of God, new in ministry, he wanted a double portion of what the man of God had. He wanted this kind of special relationship with God that Elijah had. He wanted this special anointing that Elijah had. He wanted a touch from God. Now, tonight, to better understand Elisha's request, we won't turn there, but there's a reference verse in Deuteronomy 21, verse number 17. And according to custom there in Deuteronomy 21, 17, the firstborn received a double portion of the father's inheritance. That's Deuteronomy 21, 17. And so he was asking, in essence, to be Elijah's heir, is what he was asking. Elijah, I want a double portion of thy spirit. Elijah, I want to be your heir. I want to be your successor. I want to be the one who would continue your work as the leader of the prophets. For we know that Elisha, that's what he was requesting, because we know he went on and he occupied that office and he did twice the miracles as Elijah. Do you know that? He did twice the miracles as Elijah did. And so I do want you to note that Elisha did not ask simply to be Elijah's successor. He was asking for spiritual power beyond his own capabilities to meet the requirements of the task. And so when he said, Elisha, what do you want? Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And wrapped up in that statement, Elisha was saying, I want to continue your ministry, and also I need power for that ministry. So Elisha is actually beginning to see his need of spiritual power, which is in addition to that office. He desired Elijah's strength and responsibilities. He desired Elijah's power to continue to live through him. He desired for the anointing of God to carry out this ministry. And so that's what we're looking at on point number three, that Elijah finished with a sacred question. Elisha, what do you want, son? What can I do for you? So that's what he says. He says, I want a double portion of that spirit. I want to occupy that office, but I need power to occupy that office. Notice verse number 10, if you would. 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. That's kind of a weird thing, isn't it? He said, if you watch me leave, then you'll have a double portion of my spirit. But if you don't watch me leave, you won't. And so God, he would grant Elisha's request. He would go on and he would grant Elisha's request. Not only did he watch him, but God granted this request. And God would grant Elisha's request because his motives were pure. I want a double portion of your spirit, Elijah. I want to occupy the office of prophet. I want the ministry to continue, but I can't do it on my own. I need a double portion of your spirit. I need power that comes along with the position. So we know that Elisha's goal was to accomplish more for God. Listen tonight. If our motives are pure, we don't have to be afraid to ask God to use us to do great things. Ask God tonight to use you to do great things. There's nothing selfish about that at all. If your motives are pure and it's for His glory and honor, and you want to be used by God, ask God. Say, God, please anoint me. Lord, please touch me. Lord, please, I come to you. I can't do what I'm doing on my own. I am dependent upon you. And so there's a call tonight for us that are saved to abide in Him as He is in us. And so we have here, when it comes to Elijah's departure, we have Elijah finished with a sacred question. Let me mention something else. Not only that, but Elijah finished with a spectacular scene. Look at verse number 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked. So this was their last walk. This was their last talk. That behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I want you to take note that this experience, the chariot of fire, the horses of fire, this may represent the divine forces from the armies of heaven, which was Israel's true defense. This may represent that which worked through Elijah in his ministry, as God used him as an instrument of God's power. He didn't die and go to heaven, but heaven's entourage came and got him. It was a chariot of fire. It was horses of fire. You know, Elijah was familiar with fire. It was on top of Mount Carmel where he prayed for God to rain down on him and the contest. And we know that fire fell from heaven and it licked up the water and consumed the sacrifice. Elijah was familiar with earth and heaven, and Elijah was familiar with fire. And so we literally have Elijah being taken away in a whirlwind. The chariot of fire came, the horses of fire. And so this is very telling of the kind of ministry that he had. He had the army of the Lord on his side. For he was the Lord's prophet. He was taken in a spectacular way. We may not be able to see chariots of fire. We may not be able to see horses of fire. But I want to tell you, in the unseen world, we have an army behind us. In the unseen world, we, because of our connection to heaven, the new birth, we have an entourage. We have the heavenly host. We have the Lord of hosts that are with us. Every time you face a difficulty, you feel alone. Don't you fool yourself. You are not alone. Not only do you have God Almighty, and the Scriptures indicate that we have a guardian angel, but there is a heavenly host that is with us, that fights off the demons of hell that try to get us each and every day. Just because we don't see it, that don't mean they're not there. In the same way that the chariot of fire and the horses of fire picked up Elijah, this was a picture of his ministry and the defense that he had. Well, let me say this. There is coming another spectacular scene. We know that in Scripture there were at least three that were raptured out of here. Enoch was raptured out of here. Elijah was raptured out of here. Jesus was raptured out of here. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 13 through 18, we are going to be raptured out of here. There is coming a yet future event when there's going to be another spectacular scene. It'll be spectacular to us, but it'll be disastrous to those who are left behind. Let me read you this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, snatched away, raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Church, I'm trying to comfort you tonight with these words that Elijah went up in a rapture. And if we don't go by the way of the grave, we will go up in the rapture. And I want to tell you, it's getting close. Our redemption draweth nigh. We're experiencing, I've said this several times in the past 2 weeks, we are experiencing a great falling away. And we know that according to Scripture, just after that is going to be the revelation of the Antichrist. A person that is claiming to have all the answers, claiming to even make peace with the world, with Israel even. But then 3.5 years into that tribulation, he will break that peace treaty. And then there's going to be the worst things on this earth a person has ever seen that are left behind. But right in between the falling away and the revelation of the Antichrist, or revealing of the Antichrist, there's about a space like this. And right in the middle, there's the falling away, which we're experiencing now. We're living in the Laodicean church age, the last church mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. John said in chapter number 4, he heard a voice in heaven that said, "Come up hither." We are waiting on that voice. The falling away, the Antichrist. We're right here. You got to do this. This is how it is. Our redemption is drawing nigh. We're waiting on the Lord to shout. We're waiting on Him to come for us. And we are closer than we actually think of leaving this world. It could be tonight. It could be before the election. Amen. It could. Hey, they can have that because we're going to be with King Jesus. All right? We were on visitation the other Saturday, and I was handing out tracts with the people, our people. I said, Jesus for president. Jesus for president. They didn't know what to think. And that's the exact reaction I wanted to. I wanted to shock them. I was in Hiram yesterday. I went for a late run after my first study. And there was a woman. I watched her. She pulled in over there at Planet Fitness at the end of the parking lot right there at the new oil change place. And she popped her trunk up. And I was pulling in. I was going to the plaza for something. And I noticed she was pulling stuff out of her trunk. She pulled out a sign this big that says, Jesus is peace. I kept driving on. I heard these 18-wheelers going, "Mark, mark." And it domed on me while they were blowing their horn. Because she was out there at the intersection holding a sign saying, Jesus is peace. And them 18-wheelers were going, "Mark, mark." What a blessing. I mean, listen. There is a great falling away, and it does not matter about those. Listen, they choose to lay out a church. They choose not to abide in Christ if they're saved. We have free will. If they choose those things, that's up to them. But I want to be faithful till He comes. I want to exhibit Jesus in my life. I want to have a finish like Elijah did. But now we have this spectacular event. We have the chariot of fire and the horses of fire coming. And He took them out of here in a whirlwind. And we know one day we'll be taken out in a very spectacular way. And it could be tonight, praise the Lord. Let me mention something else. Not only Elijah finished with a spectacular scene, but I want to spend a moment or two on this. Elijah's finish and Elisha's start. If you haven't heard, if you heard anything tonight, really, really listen to what I'm about to say. Elijah's finish and Elisha's start. Elisha started the ministry with a heartbreak. Look at verse number 12. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Look at this. And he saw him no more and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in pieces. Heartbroken. Ripped his clothes. This was his mentor that he walked with, that he talked with, that Elijah, he poured his life, he enriched the life of Elisha. He knew the day was coming when they would separate. They had their last walk, they had their last talk, and then out of nowhere, a tornado got them. There was a chariot of fire, and there were horses of fire, and he was gone. He was gone. And now we have Elisha living alone, walking alone, and it was so much at one time, he couldn't take it. Of course, ripping your garments like that is a sign of mourning. The thing about it was, he didn't have a long time to mourn. Because there lay the mantle of Elijah. Can I say tonight, many a ministry start out of heartbreak. Many a ministry start out of heartbreak. the thing you're going through you think is going to kill you. God could be getting together a ministry for you. It may not have a title. It just may be sharing Jesus with the brethren, sharing Jesus with the sister, and just sharing the love of Jesus to the lost. Just sharing the love of Jesus. Everything you go through, listen, the Lord will use it. He will use it. And many ministries have started out of heartbreak. Here we have the young man of God. His mentor went up to heaven. He was alone and he was upset. Now, think about this. Elisha, remember I told you earlier, he protested Elijah leaving him. Verse number 2 specifically. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here. I pray, stay here. Who does that remind you of? It reminds us of Naomi going back to Bethlehem, telling Orpha and Ruth to stay. Orpha stayed. Ruth clave to Naomi. For the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And then they went from Bethel to Jericho. And from Jericho to Jordan. And that's where it happened. Now Elijah's gone. And there the mantle lays. And Elisha is heartbroken. He ripped his clothes. And he is mourning the disappearing, the translation of his mentor. Elisha protested Elijah's leaving him, yet now he is left behind. At some point, church, we will part with the dearest of family and friends, and we will walk alone without them. But you see, when it comes to Elijah versus Elisha, Elijah's life and ministry ended, but Elisha's life and ministry was beginning. If I could say it this way, Elisha was continuing with Elijah's ministry because he picked up his mantle. And again, church, at some point we will part with the dearest of family and friends. We will walk alone without them. Some here tonight have experienced this departure of a loved one, and rightfully so, left behind, grieving and trying to make understanding of it all. You may be here tonight, maybe haven't lost a loved one, but some kind of heartbreak. I want to say that heartbreak is part of ministry. Many times we will experience heartbreak that will develop into a ministry. In fact, I'm more convinced the longer I live that anything that comes into me and my family's life is filtered through the hands of God, but He doesn't just allow us to go through trying times to be mean, or He doesn't do that at all, to be mean, to be cruel, to be unkind. God has a purpose for it. And one of the main purposes for everything we feel is to have empathy for people. It is to be a person who is touched by other people's situations. So tonight we have Elisha starting the ministry with a heartbreak. Elisha had to make a choice at this particular time. Look at verse 13. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. He had a choice to make. Church, you and I have a choice to make with anything we go through, good, bad, or ugly. Will we make a ministry out of it? Will we continue for God's work to go on. And so we read in the scriptures that Elisha took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. What is he getting ready to do in his first day in the ministry? Well, let me say this. This was a time of sorrow mixed with joy, for his fearless leader was with the Lord, but there was a mantle to pick up. There was a ministry to continue. The great Elijah was gone. Now the gentle new prophet, Elisha, was to take his place. But he knew how heavy that calling was. He seen his mentor go through the ups and downs of ministry. And he seen his mentor call fire down from heaven. And he knew he had a touch from God. He knew he had an anointing of God. So what do you think Elisha was going to do? You think he was going to run? Oh no, he had a calling on the inside. Something was drawing him to that mantle. He knew he had to depend on God. And if he was going to take up that mantle. So the Bible says he took up the mantle. Church, tonight, let us take up the mantle. Somebody in your life that has laid the mantle down, went on to be with the Lord. Again, it may be a situation that is chaotic to you, but in some respects, it's like a mantle to pick up. It's like we're picking up Elijah's mantle and continuing the work of God. And so we see here that Elisha had the mantle. He had picked up the mantle, but I want you to notice something. Elisha had the mantle placed on him early in his life, on his shoulders. We won't turn there. But in 1 Kings 19:19, Elijah was passing by. Elisha was on the farm. And Elijah, here you go, boy. He placed his mantle on him, symbolic of a future calling. David was anointed king as a teenager, but didn't start as king till later in life. So this mantle that was placed on him temporarily early in life was his mentor saying, there's something about you, son. You've got God's touch on your life. One day God is going to use you. And so now the mantle fell on his shoulders permanently. There was no one to go to for help. There was nobody to go to for guidance to talk to. Elijah was now ministering out of experience. And what he gained from his friend that went on to be with the Lord. I want to say tonight that God is preparing everyone for your calling. Everything you're going through right now is in some ways Elisha experienced. He experienced so much. Living and moving and going with his mentor Elijah, ups and downs, but now it was time for him to live it out. It was time for him to live it out. He was all by himself, but it was time for, listen, God is preparing you in your calling. He is preparing you with what you're going through now in life. He's using that as preparation for how he wants to use you. And being used of God can be as simple as showing the love of God. But showing the love of God with experience. Let me say this. Verse number 13. Again, this is when he takes up the mantle. But I want you to kind of get an understanding with me of the sense of urgency and dependency upon God that he had. As that mantle was laying there, he knew it was nothing about Elijah. He seen his faith all the way to the finish. He smote the waters, they parted. If Elisha was not dependent upon God, he could have smote those waters with that mantle and they wouldn't have parted. So he had a great heaviness in spirit. He knew he was heartbroken over his mentor dying. He looked at the mantle and must go on. The work must continue. And he was totally, totally dependent when he picked up that mantle. And so we have a conclusion to the story here. Let us, before we get into that, let us remember that whatever our title or office or mantle we're carrying may be, without the touch of God, the work can't continue fruitfully. Can't continue. Again, the mantle was a symbol. It was the office of Elijah, but without the touch of God, all would be vain. All would be fruitless. All would be impossible. Now, notice verse number 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah. Here's the great sense of a dependency upon God that he had. Fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" So he knew he needed God's touch. And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Kind of like this, his mentor died. There lay the mantle. He's been trained his whole life. Oh, what am I going to do? I need the touch of God. It's not just a mantle. It's not just Elijah. I need God's touch to occupy that position. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I need to do this. I want to do this. God, I trust in you. He picked it up. Where is the God of Elijah? In other words, he was depending on him. And he grabbed that mantle and pow! First day in ministry, split the waters. I want to say that we still serve. Now, God may not be calling us to split no waters, but we still serve the God of Elijah and Elisha. We can, listen, it just occupying the position of a pastor doesn't mean you're going to have power. Just occupying the position of a teacher or even a nursery worker or going on visitation doesn't mean you're going to have power. There is the office. But then we need to be endowed with power. We need a touch from God. We need an anointing from God. Blessed be the day. Listen, I'm still in school, church. I am still in school. And I'm pedaling as fast as I can to learn all I can. But I can't tell you specifically when it was. I think it just kind of came in gradual phases. But I reached a point where I knew that I can't live this Christian life, brother, based upon my own abilities. In fact, I went through a long period of time when I first got saved where I was excited, but then I got discouraged because I keep failing. I kept failing and failing and failing and failing and failing and failing. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And we ought to do that, although we're already forgiven, just to have a good relationship with Him. Clean airwaves, so to speak. No clouds. But I got to the place where I realized the Scriptures are to be taken literally. Without me, ye can do nothing. I mean, I read it before. Abide in me, I abide in you, and you'll produce fruit. Blessed be the day I took that seriously. And if I stumble now, if I fall now, it's because I'm depending upon my flesh and not leaning on the Lord. But God has showed me He's able in my salvation years. God is continuing to show me He is able. He is able. And that's the mindset that Elisha had. He grabbed that mantle and wham! First day on the job, caused the river of Jordan to split and walked across on dry ground. That is a young man who recognizes where his power comes from. You and I have the same access tonight. Listen, we can be overtaken by the cares of this world. All I can say is appropriate Jesus to your circumstance. Easier said than done, easier preached than lived, but at the end of the day, what are you going to do? He's still dividing waters, and He'll divide them for you tonight. I want to say this in conclusion. Elisha stood on the bank of the Jordan River, understanding and realizing the mantle was just a symbol of office. He needed God's touch. And so he took the mantle, smote the waters. They parted. This was just an illuminating moment in the mind and heart of Elisha. He knew all things were possible with God. Where is the God of Elisha? He was calling on God. Elisha moved forward in boldness and confidence of his calling in God's power. This brought confirmation to Elisha, but also it brought confirmation to the sons of the prophets that watched. Look at verse number 15 and we're done. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doeth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. The sons of the prophets were watching, and they seen the power of God in Elisha's life. Let me ask you a question before we close tonight in prayer. Do people see the power of God in your life? Oh, it's God that gives the power. But are we yielding to Him? And are we trusting Him? Do you know if God is working in your life? Are you acquainted with the power of God? We need to get acquainted. Do people see God's power in your life like the sons of the prophet saw in the life of Elijah? Will you tonight take up the mantle? That's the message, a look at Elijah's departure. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for today, the message this morning, the message tonight. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would just apply it to our hearts. And Father, just help us be good stewards of our time, our talents, our money, all things, God. And Father, we just love you tonight and thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. We'll just conclude there for tonight. Does anybody got a word to share before we close? Good to have our brother and our sister with us. Denise, I knew it. Okay. And brother, your first name again? Peter, that's right. And your name? Nanita, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and brother Ceylon, how long have we been? We support you guys, don't we? Or do we? I can't remember anyway. So where is it again that y'all are from? You minister from? The Philippines. Okay. Awesome. Well, it's good to have y'all tonight. Y'all doing good? Good. All right. Anything else to mention before we close? All right. Consider yourself dismissed. Have a great week.